Before I bring what I've got to share, I just wanted to bring some information regarding the offerings over the last few months. Just update you a little bit as to what the position is. In April, the offerings in April amounted to £3,261. That included a special offering I took for 412 Ministries, which was £1,030. So praise God for his giving that month. In May, the giving was £1,416. In June, it was £1,561. In July, it was £3,158. I'll repeat that, £3,158. And in August, it was £1,247. That's over £10,000 from April to August that the people of God have given in this church. From the giving that we've been given since we set up the building fund, that building fund now stands at £4,723. So it's still growing. We gave into ministries. Now, we're giving to ministries on a monthly basis. We give to the UCB. We give £100 a month to them. We give £300 a month to Bish, to Elijah Ministries. And we're planting seed every month. There isn't a month goes by without UCB gives a personal written response to our giving. And that happens every month. And I mean, you know, that's among all the giving, all that they receive, they've got time and dedication, call it what you will, to give us a personal response. We gave to other ministries during that period. I said in April we actually received 1,030 in offering. We give 1,130 to 412 ministries in April. In May, we gave £100 to Brian Cousins, who was going out to Africa. Now, Brian is one of Andrew's reps, if you don't know. If you want more information on that, Andrew would gladly explain to you. In July, we gave £1,000 to Open Doors. Now, those of you that came and sat under that ministry from that lady, it was a tremendous opportunity for us to be part of. Amen. So we've sowed into that ministry. And then as Anne's departed, we gave her a send-off last Wednesday, and the church gave her a ministry gift as well to go with her. You know, we don't know the half of what Anne has done over the period. It amazes me. She has this ability to keep this long string connected to so many different people over such a long period of time. And I'm just awestruck. I mean, nobody knows really apart from Andrew. I give Anne a lift when I can. I give Anne a lift home from work. And I considered that a privilege. Anne hasn't got a car, hasn't had a car, isn't particularly bothered a car. About a car, but she inputs so much into so many others. I thought, well, you know, I can give just a little bit back just by giving her that convenience of a lift home. So we've sowed into Anne's life, and through Anne, we'll have sowed into other people's lives that £1,000. So I thought we'd just update you on that. I know there's some not here, so I might share that again later in the month when others are back off holiday. Ken said he didn't know why he brought that reading from Genesis. Well, I do. Yeah, you know why you sort of go a bit bright red and sweaty a bit when something... Yeah. Jacob was alone with God. Yet he got into that position of being alone with God. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 33. Now you probably realise the connection just reading this verse. Exodus chapter 33 verse 7. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And it came about that everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. If I were to give this a title, and it's not a long word, I got the feeling that somebody might be able to pick up and run with it when I've finished speaking, but we'll see how that goes. But it's about having a place to go to God that's outside anyone or anything else that we're involved in, that we do. I suppose the seed of this word was sown in me when I came across one of the things in Word for Today, and it was Tuesday the 29th of August. And it was, you know, like they have a heading in bold type. And it said, anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent. Anybody that knows me knows I'm into tents. So it drew my attention straight away. But when you get into it, there's something much deeper than tents. That is just an illustration, but when we speak to people, very often, and this country has its own particular language for this, and we'll say, how are you? Or words to that effect. And chances are the response we'll get back is, okay, how are you? We don't know if that's the truth. Quite often in this culture, it is the response that is expected. So we give it. We don't know if the same underneath. Really, you don't really know. You've no idea. But they give this response of being okay. But going back to this, the idea of having the tent was that there's going to be somewhere where we can go to meet with God, where we're not disturbed, we're not sidetracked. There's nothing going to crop up that's going to draw our attention away. So Moses set up a tent outside the camp. It was a good distance away from the camp, so it's not something that would normally go past or around. So they could go to this tent and meet with God. Now, I like to go walking. And one of the things when I'm walking on my own, one of the things I realise is, and it didn't start intentionally, but it's how it developed, was I started talking to God aloud. which in this day and age, if anybody saw you, they'd think that you were a bit cracked. But because I was on my own, I was away from any of them, I could look all around for as far as I could see, and there was nobody else there. So I could verbalise to God. I want to read this daily reading, and you'll see how things start to come out of it. When it says tent, that was the thing for them. But let me just put things in context for you today. It could quite easily be for you a room apart in the house. It could be a car, sit in your car somewhere. It could be walking around somewhere. It could be a favourite chair that you just like. It could be kneeling at the side of your bed. But it's the tent of meeting. It's the tent where we meet God. So it says in this daily reasoning, Moses did something we need to do. Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent, and what would happen in that tent? The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Face time with God. That's what you need. Turn off your mobile phone, sell your TV and buy a tent. God has your answer. And what did they talk about in that tent? Moses prayed, "Let me know whom you will send with me." Some of the problems you're experiencing are because the people who are influencing you. He also said, "Teach me your ways." You say your way of doing things doesn't seem to be working too well. Get God's input. And he also asked, "So I may know you." This word "know" is not a casual acquaintance, it's intimacy between two people. How well do you know God? He says, "So I may continue to find favour with you." God's favour. You've got to have it. It opens doors, gives you the advantage, and influences people before you speak a word. And what did God say back to Moses in that tent? "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." He says, how would you like to be on a first name basis with God? By a tent. There's very few places in life where we can truly get alone with God, because there's so many distractions. It's got to be a place where you can shout at God. It's got to be a place where you can shed tears before God. It's got to be a place where you can be silent before God. There's very few places you can get. You know, sometimes early in the morning before anybody else is up, might be that time where you can do something like that. Perhaps you've got a soundproof room. You know, that would solve a few problems. One of the American guys, I forget which one it was now, somebody will tell me, he used to stand across the bath. He used to get up early in the morning and stand across the bath. It helped to keep his concentration. Jesse Duplantis. Oh, Jerry Seville. I know it was one of those. I wasn't going to put a name because I wasn't sure. But But it's important that we find that place. I found, because I was going out walking and I picked up on this, and I've been walking this morning trying to sort things out again, and you don't necessarily sort things out in one walk, I'll tell you that. One visit to the tent of meeting won't necessarily solve all your problems. But it's the way to go. It's the place to get. It's the place where nobody else can go. Not even your wife, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your kids. Nobody else can go. And it's a place that quite often nobody else knows about. Because there's things you talk to God about that even the closest of closest of closest cannot fully comprehend what you're touching God about. Because all the words of explanation cannot help them to know just how you tick. But God knows. God is the one that does know where you're coming from and where you're at. Now, if you look at the situation in Exodus, when they're talking about the tent outside the camp, quite a bit's happened just before that. Moses has been up the mountain, given him the commandments to bring down on stone. And he's got down, and the people have turned their backs and they've melted some gold and made an idol, what's come out like a calf. So they started dancing and worshipping around this. Now he's only been gone a month or whatever, he hasn't been gone a year or two. So they've started doing all this. And the people are so erratic. They've gone from following God to suddenly they're following what? So now they're establishing a point of focus. A very serious thing happened to bring the people back into line. I think it says that there were over 4,000 people had to be slaughtered. One of the sons of Levi went through the camp slaughtering people that were still in rebellion. Because not everybody would turn back from that idol. Once that idol had been set up, not everybody had turned back from it, so they had to slaughter them. When they'd done that, then God's anger subsided. And God, through Moses, established this tent of meeting where the people could come and meet with God. And it was a very special place. I mean, so much so that there was a cloud came around the tent. If you look at that verse 8 in Exodus 33, it says, "And it came about, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. And it came about, whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance to the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses." That's when Moses went. But it wasn't exclusively Moses that used that tent, because in verse 7 there it says, "Everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting." So it's for everybody. It wasn't just for Moses. But once the tent of meeting was established, there was a communication back with God. And Moses went up and got another set of the commandments. You read that in Exodus 34, verse 1. But then something special as well. In Exodus 34, verse 10, it says, "Then God said, Behold, I am going to make a covenant before all your people. I will perform miracles which had not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations. And all the people among you, among whom you live, will see, and the working of the Lord, for it is a fearful thing that I am going to perform with you." So there God's establishing his covenant with his people. He could have cut them off completely. God had every right to do that, but he didn't. But he established the contact that people could come to him. Now notice this. The tent of meeting was out there, outside the camp, and the people had to go to the tent of meeting. When you look in the New Testament, you see Jesus. It talks about Jesus finding it very important to have time apart, alone with God. You find it in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. But you also find it in all four of the Gospels. Verse 14 and 23, I will read 22 as well. It says, "And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone." That's what Jesus needed. He needed time alone with the Father. And you know, I mentioned earlier about me verbalising aloud at times when I'm out walking. Can you picture Jesus up in the mountain there? Now, there'd be a lot less people around than there is these days. You know, the population of the world's grown somewhat. He'd go up into the mountain. Now, do you think he'd just stand there and you'd never hear a thing from him? I don't think that's how he would have talked to the Father. I think Jesus would have verbalized very much so. He would have talked with the Father. He would have spent hours, he would walk. He wouldn't just stand in one place. He might spend times kneeling, I don't know. But I don't think he would just stand or sit or lay or kneel in one place. But he went up into the mountain alone to pray. You'll find that again in John 6:15, Luke 6:12, and Mark 6:46. It's like the same event. He also took somebody with him when he went up once into the mountain. He took was it Peter and John when he was transfigured? They went up. It might have been one of his favourite places. He took them up. But see, even when he took them up, they watched from a distance what he did when he was alone with God. They went and watched. They had the privilege. Talking about your tent, my tent, where do I go? Well, if you look back in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, Daniel went onto the roof, or a roof chamber. It might not have been the actual roof. Now we've got a conflict going. King decides that write an edict that anybody that worshipped anybody but except the king would be thrown to the lion's den. And in verse 9 it says, therefore King Darius signed the document, that is the injunction. It says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, so he didn't do it in ignorance, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Something interesting there, I want you to read what he actually did. He knelt on his knees, the windows were open, and he gave thanks. If he kneels on his knees, it might be below the window level. I don't know what the windows were like then, but the only way the people outside were going to know, really, was if they heard somebody, if they heard something. So Daniel must have been very vocal in his praying and giving thanks. But that was his way. That's what he says, as he had been doing previously. That was his tent of meeting. That was how he met with God, his time apart. Go to Acts chapter 10. Verse 9. Now we've got Peter. And on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the 6th hour to pray. Peter liked to go on the housetop. I don't think we can really do that in this country. I think it would be a bit of a problem. We might be able to in Spain or Greece or somewhere, but it could be a little bit awkward in this country. Also, it might be a bit awkward in this country to have a tent out in winter. Yeah. But you see, what God is saying is that we need to establish a place and a time without distraction where we can really get to grips with God. What Ken read this morning, that was not an apathetic situation. That was a struggle, that was a battle. If you look back into Genesis and Adam and Eve, and it said God walked in the cool of the day. They met with God in the cool of the day. It's finding a place apart. You know, with that many pressures, we can sit and watch the television and time's gone. We can get racing doing this and that and time's gone. We can get pulled this way and that way with so many distractions. But it's a place and a time that we need. Whether you kneel, you stand, you walk, whether you sit in a chair, whether you're inside or outside, some things it has to be. It has to be a place of freedom. Freedom in the sense that we need to be free to say to God whatever we want to need to say. We need to be able to talk. We need to be able to shout. We need to be able to be silent. We need to express to God our anger, our frustrations, our tears. We have to be able to release ourselves to God. It has to be a place of rebuilding. Because sometimes we can be really shattered. Emotionally, physically. The pressures of just doing too much. It needs to be a place of direction. We need to establish where we need to be going. And there again, one visit to the tent of meeting is not going to sort that out. You'll be very fortunate if it does. Needs to be a place of encouragement. Discouragement is very difficult. Encouragement is so uplifting. It needs to be a place to hear God. Just to hear. If you go out at night, on a clear night, you go anywhere around town, you look up in the sky, and you will not see a fraction of the stars in the sky. I know Andrew and Grace have said, when they were in America, was it a lake you went to? There were no lights for miles. There was no contamination from the ground. And you saw a multitude of stars you'd never seen before. That is when there's no distraction. That's the place we need to look for, to find before God, to spend the time with God. A place where no one or nothing can get in the way of us seeing the multitude of the stars. Needs to be a place of clarity. Clear thinking. Now, I say it doesn't work for everybody, this, but when I walk on my own, there tends to be a clearness comes from all the mess. And it doesn't happen with the first few steps. Perhaps doesn't happen with the first mile. And it's saying wherever your tent of meeting is, however you approach it, it might not happen in the first 10 minutes. It might not happen in the first half hour. Just getting into gear and shedding the thing, because you can go into you can go into a soundproof room and you take a lot of noise in with you. Emotional noise. Circumstantial noise. All sorts of noises you can take in with you. You know, it said before, people running away, trying to escape things. And the trouble is, they don't realise that what they're running away from, they're actually taking with them, and it's going to be there when they get to where they're going. The question I ask you today, and this is where there might be somebody to kick off with this, is the question is, have you found that place in your life? Have you found a place that I've been describing? Have you found the tent of meeting? It might not be the same place physically all the time, but is it that place where you can go? And God sees a side of us that nobody else can ever see. And you get there and I see Joe Bloggs there and I look at him and he talks to me. And I get some vibes as to where he's at. And now I might be way off the beam as to the reality of his situation. Have you found the place where you can go in God and get alone with God and really get into His presence and shout and cry and do all the things that you need to do? It says it's only the truth that's going to set us free. And it's that place, getting into that place before God, is the only place we can be truly, truly true. It's the only place where we can get release. It's the only way where we can talk over our frustrations with God. It's probably the only place that we're going to find the full peace that God's wanting to give us. Because it's the only place we can go where we can shed the things that we don't need. The trouble is, we'll come out of that tent and then we'll pick them all up again. And we won't. But that's the nature of how we are. But for that time with God, there's a time where you can get that clarity, you can get just that freedom, and you can get a comfort there. You know, there's times when you can go before God and you're so frustrated, you're so tired or whatever, you don't have any words to say. You perhaps feel so empty that you just can't reach through. But you're in the tent of meeting. So if you can't reach to God there, God's going to reach to you. Because you've gone to the right place. And it's establishing the tent. Buy a tent. You can laugh at the connotation, but there's a serious, serious thing that I'm beginning to understand, scratching at the surface. But if there wasn't a church, and you were all alone on a desert island, would God still be real? How much do we live circumstantially for church? How much do we actually just we go along? There's so many religious habits. No, so much religious. Even the non-Christians know some of the terminology. Religious terminology can hide so much of the truth. The truth is, what are you inside? What am I inside? The part of us that nobody else sees and nobody else knows about, but God does. God knows. And God cares. And God's established. Or God has provided access for us. When He ripped the altar curtain in two, that was to tell us we'd now got access to the throne. But it's getting in there. It's really getting in there. And it's not getting in there with some religious prayer or some religious procedure. It's getting in there with who we really are. And if you're frustrated, tell him. If you're brokenhearted, tell him. If you're full of joy, tell him. But be real. Be real with him. But you need to get where nobody else sees you. Because if you don't, then you're getting sidetracked before you start. Because your attention is going to be drawn before you even start. You've got to find a place alone with God. Amen.